Hey, Rafer.
Hey, Kristen.
You know, earlier in the year, a couple months ago, we were talking about the movies we were most looking forward to seeing in the coming months.
That's right.
I think we were talking about this back in January during a very slow time.
And that's right.
There was nothing else to talk about.
That's right.
The movies we were looking forward to in the upcoming year. And you said that one of the movies you were most looking forward to seeing was The Beaver.
Yes, that's right.
The Beaver starring Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Jodie Foster, who also directs.
Yep.
And a hand puppet that is a kind of a stuffed animal beaver.
Right.
Bloody hell. Look at you. I'm sick. Do you want to get better? Who are you? No, I'm the Beaver, Walter.
Mel Gibson plays a depressed CEO of a toy company. He's withdrawing from his family. Jodie Foster plays his wife. He's withdrawing from his family. He's withdrawing from his kids. And he discovers salvation essentially through this beaver hand puppet that he finds in a dumpster, puts it on his hand, and begins to communicate with everyone through the beaver hand puppet. He adopts a kind of a classic kind of Cockney English accent, sort of tough guy, Guy Ritchie kind of accent, and speaks to everyone in that accent using the beaver hand puppet, moving the beaver's mouth, and that's how he finds redemption.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you in just a second how you liked the movie, but first let's introduce ourselves.
Okay.
This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday. This is Movie Date.
All right, Rafer. That's me pounding on the table.
I hear that.
The moment of truth. You loved it. You didn't love it. How did you feel about
well, can
the
I just,
beaver?
May I say first? May I say first why I was so looking forward to this?
Why? Because you like torture.
because I just thought to myself there were a couple of conflicting things going on. First of all, it's the premise sounded ridiculous.
It sure does.
Right?
Yes.
Second of all, Mel Gibson, right? And I just thought, is this going to be, you know, his brilliant, triumphant comeback, or is this going to be his final
Waterworld?
His final self-immolation, right? Is this going to be the train wreck that just ends it all? And then
so
again,
you wanted to see it more for a freak show.
Your
motivation was more freak show than it was.
I just went so back and forth. Again, like Jodie Foster is in this and she's a director and I think she's a pretty decent director. I don't think she's a great director, but she's a decent director. And she doesn't direct just garbage.
I liked Little Man Tate, yeah.
Yeah, Little Man Tate. And mm-hmm. And the script had apparently made the blacklist, which was this informal list of like the best unproduced screenplays. So there were all these conflicting things going on in my head, you know, about this film.
Man who needs to use a beaver hand puppet to describe his feelings.
If I had my own puppet, I could have had a conversation with myself.
About why you needed to see this movie.
Exactly. I would have used a Kiwi accent.
Let's hear yours.
There's no way I could do a Kiwi accent. I just made that up.
Oh, darn it. Oh, that's not Kiwi either.
It's very difficult to meet Australian, Kiwi. It's tricky. Ultimately, I went in expecting one extreme or the other, right? Expecting mm-hmm. either, you know, total home run, knock it out of the park, winner of a drama, or, you know, utter crash and burn failure. And the problem
Let's be honest. You were kind of hoping for the latter.
Oh, totally. I would have been just as happy if it was just a ghastly, weird, you know, misfire. And it is a misfire. But the problem is, it's just neither one of those things. It's just another sort of just below mediocre, soggy, weepy Hollywood drama with too many characters and too many issues and doesn't know where it's going and the writing isn't that great and it's got a lot of these sort of literary conceits in it. And it just – that was the real bummer. That was the real bummer about this movie to me is that it's not his triumph. It's not his failure. It's just another lousy Hollywood Mel Gibson movie. Do you know what I mean?
You think it's just below mediocre?
I think – here's what I think. I think it's very typical of its genre. It's very typical of American Beauty or
yeah, I was thinking of American Beauty watching it also.
Right, right.
So, however, I do have to say I slightly disagree with you.
Okay.
I don't think it's just below mediocre. I think it's pretty bad.
You think it's pretty bad?
I think it's pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
Can I just say, listeners, cover your ears if you're easily creeped out. There is a man-woman puppet sex scene.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Man-woman puppet sex scene.
Not the first, by the way.
I
in cinema.
Ready for you specialize in these? You know, there's a word for this.
Is that right?
Furries.
Oh yes, plushies.
Oh, plushies.
Plushies.
Oh, I've heard.
Furries. I don't know why I know that term. I don't know why I corrected you on that. Well, plushies is the term that I have been told.
So I've heard. In the pictures I look at,
yes.
Sometimes the captions underneath
Right. yeah, that's right. That's right. Plushies. Or furries. Or fuzzies.
Okay, now you opened a can of worms. What are these other movies? And are they all triple X?
Well, no, they're not. No, they're not. Here's the problem, actually. The movie that this movie reminded me of the most was Magic, an old movie from 78 with a very, very, very young Anthony Hopkins. Playing a magician who has a ventriloquist dummy that he uses. And the dummy helps him overcome his shyness as a performer. And eventually they kind of hit it big, you know, Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and, you know, possible NBC pilot. And he's becoming sort of a, you know, sort of a Rich Little type of celebrity, right, in the
70s. But does the puppet turn on him eventually?
Well, of course. The puppet takes over his personality and starts forcing him to kill people.
I hate it when puppets do that.
Right, as they always do.
Yeah.
And there is a puppet sex scene. In Magician, the puppet is not actually in the bed. He's just very nearby, sort of fuming with jealousy. But but you're right that in The Beaver, we have to say that title just over and over, don't we? And in The Beaver, that puppet is in the bed with them. And I will give you this. The Beaver is a completely bizarre, bizarre film. That's true, right?
I don't think it's bizarre enough. I just thought it was creepy.
And you think in unintentionally creepy?
Yeah.
I think
what it was going for was quirky and touching. I think it was trying to be something like Lars and the Real Girl.
Yes, it's trying to be offbeat.
Yeah. But what it ends up being instead is creepy.
Creepy and
overly earnest.
Overly earnest and all
heavy-handed.
And also, yes, and very dark.
Yeah.
Right? And it goes into some very dark, dark places toward the end.
And can I just also say something about Jodie Foster and Mel Gibson?
Yes.
How did you feel about their so-called chemistry?
I mean, I kind of bought them as a longtime married couple.
Oh, come on. That's a bunch of malarkey.
No.
Really?
No,
you believed them as a couple?
I mean, I believe, well,
is the guy who complained that Date Night starring Tina Fey and Steve Carell didn't have enough chemistry between the two, and somehow you're buying Jodie Foster and Mel Gibson in this movie?
Well, the reason I'm buying them is because, I mean, sort of the point of the relationship is the chemistry's gone, right? I mean, that's kind of, they're a marriage on the rocks, and I guess maybe that's why. Maybe
yeah,
that's why I was
the marriage
able to buy
is on
them.
The rocks and so on. But it, oh God, no. I hate to bring this into the movie, but I hate to bring this into the criticism.
Yes.
But because I do think gay people can play straight people can play gay.
Are you outing Jodie Foster, Kristen?
Jodie Foster, all I could think during, to go back to the puppet sex scene, all I could think is she's in bed with Mel Gibson and a beaver. And you know where I'm going next with this.
I'm not sure I even do.
I'm going to leave it there. You were about to ask me a question. Go ahead.
Well, now my question just seems so totally unimportant. But
what's your question?
My question is this. So you didn't buy the Mel Gibson Jodie Foster. Here's another ingredient to the Beaver that I'm going to guess you didn't buy. Did you not buy that Jennifer Lawrence, as the class valedictorian, was actually a closet graffiti artist?
No.
You didn't buy that.
I didn't buy that either. Oh, God. And she had to have not just issues, but the issue.
The issue, of course. Of course. Yeah.
There's the issue with a capital T and a capital
I. Everyone in the movie, though, not just the people who are surrounded by Mel Gibson, who is a, you know, an attempted suicide, but everyone in this movie, including him and including Jennifer Lawrence, has got a dead somebody in their lives, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone has to have a dead somebody that they're haunted by in this film. And that's the kind of thing that I mean. The movie just – it piles on the issues, right? It's not one – it's not enough that the guy is losing his mind and he has a beaver on his hand, right? You've got to have everyone –
How many sentences do you open that way, Rafer?
I'm just saying you've got to have – every other character has to have some other major problem that would be weighty enough to carry its own separate film. Do you know what I mean? And eventually I feel like –
But I don't want to see those movies.
No. Nobody wants to see those movies. They're so boring. And if you wrap them all up into one movie, it's just sort of an extra – it's just a mountainous bore. But yes. But to answer your question, it is a bizarre film. It is very dark. And I think it is a misfire. I think the film itself has a bit of an identity crisis. I think the film can't tell where it's going, what it wants to be. Does it want to be a horror movie? Does it want to be a drama? Does it want to be dark and complicated? Does it want to be feel good and tear jerking? It's difficult to tell. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I went through all those emotions too. Are there better movies out there that involve puppets or split personalities that you can think of? I mean, I mentioned Lars and the Real Girl with a blow-up doll, and you mentioned Magic.
Yeah, Magic, which is a good movie. I mean,
I don't want to say that this is a doomed genre, because I do think it can be done well.
Oh, sure, one classic that occurred to me was The Nutty Professor with Jerry Lewis, not the Eddie Murphy version, but the Jerry Lewis version.
I just cannot stand that Jerry Lewis.
Oh, is that right? Are you an anti Jerry Lewis person?
Oh, too goofy.
I understand.
I think only men like him, right?
I don't know if that's true. Well, maybe French women. The French like Jerry Lewis a lot.
French
I don't know.
Are very weird.
They are very weird.
I'm sorry, French listeners.
That's all right. That's all right. They're used to that. They're used to that, and they're used to taking heat for the Jerry Lewis love as well. But I mean, I like that movie quite a bit, and that's one of the reasons I think a movie like that works is because the central character, who has the evil personality, the real character is so likable, and you're rooting for him. You know, you want him to vanquish that other person, that
it's
other
like
evil personality.
It's like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde sort
yeah,
of movie.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, it totally is. And one problem with this movie with the beaver is that Mel Gibson's character, Walter Black, he's just kind of a cipher, right? Do you ever really care about him? Do you ever really give a darn about what the heck is going to happen to him, what he does with his family, you don't really even know – you never really know what his problem is in the first place,
no.
Right?
He has an issue with his dad.
Yeah, that's right. See, he's got the dead somebody, right? That's hinted at. That's yeah. hinted at in the film. But it's never explored or made into anything real that you can sort of, you know, grab onto and understand in any real way.
Yeah. I mean, he also has that wife with the seven kids that he left and the angry new wife with all the plastic surgery who already has a kid with that former 007 actor. That's Mel Gibson in real life.
That's actual Mel Gibson you're talking about. That's not the fictional character. Do you, Kristen, let me ask you this. Do you think this movie is going to help, hinder, or is it just going to be a wash for Mel Gibson?
I think it will quietly disappear.
Yes, I think it will too.
Or at least that's what we can hope for yeah. Mel Gibson's sake.
Yeah.
Because I kind of was hoping it would be wackier so it could be one of those late night, midnight sort of Rocky Horror Picture Show sort of things
right.
eventually, much like Glitter turned into.
Right.
But no, I think it's just, you know, it's bad, but as bad as it is, it's just too pathetic. It's like kicking a dog that's gotten hit by a car at this point.
Right. I hear you. Well, you know. Do you think we're being too hard on the beaver?
No, but I don't think I'm going to listen to you anymore when you talk about what movies you're looking forward to seeing.
Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.